My guest at this time is Kyle Kondik. He is the managing editor of The Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia's Center for Politics. In one of his most recent summaries of the Senate projections for this 2014 midterm year, Mr. Kondik suggests that the top 10 races that are most likely to feature a Senate seat that could switch hands are all held by Democrats, which means Republicans have plenty of strong pickup prospects out there. But despite that rosy outlook for Republicans, there's still a lot of work for them to do. And Kyle, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Right now on this list, you believe there's one pretty much lock pickup here, and that's South Dakota, where Tim Johnson is retiring and the former governor there, Mike Rounds, is running for the seat. And then there's three more that are leaning Republican pickup: West Virginia, Montana, and Arkansas. How strong are those tilting towards the GOP?
You know, what's interesting is that West Virginia is a state that hasn't elected a Republican senator since the 1950s. So it has this long tradition of sending Democrats to the Senate and then keeping them there. Jay Rockefeller, who is retiring as Democrat, has been there since the 80s. And Robert Byrd was there for decades until he died a few years ago. Joe Manchin, the state's governor, took over that seat. But the Republicans have a pretty strong candidate there. Shelley Moore Capito is the daughter of a former governor of West Virginia and is a member of the U.S. House. And she looks pretty solid to pick up that seat. But I think Republicans can't really take it for granted just because there have been some seats in recent years, like North Dakota, for instance, in the 2012 cycle, that a lot of people, including myself, thought was going to flip and then ultimately didn't. So that's one that I think the Republicans are probably pretty much on track to pick up. And then Montana and Arkansas are two seats that feature Democratic incumbents. Mark Pryor in Arkansas has been around for two terms, a member of a pretty prominent political family in Arkansas, but Arkansas has moved a very Republican, kind of just like West Virginia over the past few presidential cycles. So he's in trouble there. And then Montana, that's another state that, while it's Republican at the presidential level, more often than not it sends Democrats to the U.S. Senate. John Walsh, who's the lieutenant governor, was just appointed to that seat. Steve Daines, a Republican member of the U.S. House, is running against him. Maybe this is finally the year that Republicans sort of break their hex in Montana, given that we think that the national environment is probably going to be fairly decent for Republicans in November.
If the Republicans were to pick up all four of those seats and not lose any that they currently hold, that'd be a plus four. That's still too short of regaining the majority. The good news for them, though, is that the next six Senate seats on this list, North Carolina, Alaska, Louisiana, Michigan, Iowa, and Colorado, are all next on this list, but none of them actually lean Republican at this point. They're either toss-ups or they still lean Democratic. So how much work does the GOP still have to do to get to that magic 51?
They've got a considerable amount of work to do, and one of the important things that Republicans are going to have to focus on is primaries in a number of states. Of course, Republicans have nominated some poor Senate candidates over the past couple of cycles, candidates that probably prevented them from winning seats that they otherwise should have won. And so some of the seats we're looking at where the primaries are going to matter are places like Iowa, North Carolina, and then Georgia, which is actually a Republican-held open seat. But there's some thought that Democrats might be able to compete there if the Republicans end up picking a poor candidate in their primary process. And so there's still months to go before the primary season really gets underway. I mentioned North Carolina. That's coming up on May 6th, but some of these other primaries are even later in the year than that. And so that's a big step for Republicans, is how these primaries shake out, and are the candidates that get produced by these primaries actually capable of winning.
In terms of a national strategy, election years usually aren't times of great legislative accomplishment, but when it comes to the GOP argument for why they should have the majority, is it pretty much going to be, hey, these people are responsible for Obamacare, or do they need to do more than that to get to that 51 mark?
You know, I've heard from some Republicans that they feel like they might need a little bit more oomph than just talking about Obamacare, because it seems like the Affordable Care Act may like kind of already be sort of baked into the cake in terms of the president's approval and the standing of these various candidates. And in order to get over the finish line, maybe the Republicans are going to have to roll out some sort of you know, new legislative initiative or come up with some other issues to hammer upon. But, you know, just generally speaking, it's really good to be the party that doesn't hold the White House in a midterm year. And that, you know, that factor in and of itself, plus the fact that President Obama is not particularly popular, those two things together tell us that Republicans should do well. And you almost don't even need to know anything more than that. It's just like it then just becomes kind of a question is, you know, how well do they do? And another factor is just that there are a lot, as mentioned, there's just a lot of really good targets for Republicans in the Senate. In fact, I wrote that piece right before Scott Brown got in the race in New Hampshire late last week. So actually, it's probably the top 11 that are likeliest to flip are all held by Democrats right now. But actually turning those into pickups for Republicans, again, I mentioned there's only one South Dakota that I think is like really like rock solid at this point. The potential is there, but there's also the potential that Republicans could just kind of fritter it away.
What do you see as being the indicator of a potential wave? Because the second midterm of an incumbent president, particularly one who, as you just mentioned, doesn't have very strong approval ratings right now, is usually a pretty good time for the party out of power. It certainly was for the Democrats in 06 with George W. Bush. What will you look for come September, October to determine whether this is really going to be a state-by-state battle or whether there's a national surge or not?
I think I would look to see if the president's approval rating, which is in average is about 42 or 43 right now, I would look to see if it's getting worse. I would also look at the what's the generic House poll, which is just it's a poll asked in national surveys as to whether the people responding want a Democrat or Republican in their local House race. Now, granted, that talks about the House, but it can also be kind of a predictor of sort of the national sentiment for the Senate, too. Right now, Democrats have a small lead in that poll, and generally speaking, the poll has kind of this built-in Democratic bias, and so when you look at it, you can kind of subtract a few points from the Democratic total and add it to the Republican. But if the Republicans have a lead, even a small lead in that metric, I think it would be an indication that the Republicans are there's like a big sentiment behind Republicans to control Congress, and that would not only ensure that they win the House and add seats to their current House majority, but probably also pick up a fair amount of Senate seats too. So those are two sort of basic big picture numbers to look at.
You mentioned, of course, a moment ago that Republicans have a pretty fierce primary going on in Georgia. They currently hold that seat, but it's an open seat, and the primary is pretty crowded and pretty fierce. Kentucky has a two-man primary, Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin. In both of those states, the Democratic nominee is pretty much waiting for the blood fest to end on the Republican side. You've got Michelle Nunn in Georgia and Allison Grimes in Kentucky. Polling there suggests that the Democrats, even though they're Republican-leaning states, are either neck and neck or perhaps even ahead by a point or two, depending on who wins the primary. So what makes you think those states are still likely to stay in the Republican column right now?
Again, I think the Georgia race is sort of all about who wins the primary. There are a number of sitting members of the U.S. House running there, and not to get too much into the specifics, but essentially some of them I think would make better general election candidate than some of the others. So we'll just have to see who actually wins that primary, and that primary is not until May 20th, and there might be a runoff between the top two finishers. Republicans are confident that because of the runoff, they will have a more mainstream candidate who can keep that election or that Senate seat in their column. Kentucky is interesting because Mitch McConnell, the person who would be Senate Majority Leader if the Republicans take control of the Senate, he's facing his own challenging re-election bid. It looks like he's going to be okay in the primary, but there is some worry amongst Republicans that he might lose the general election, and Democrats are pretty excited about that race. I think the problem is, though, is that Kentucky, even though it has a fairly strong tradition of electing Democrats at the state level, for instance, the state House and the governor are controlled by Democrats, but in federal races in a state where President Obama's approval is probably somewhere in the low 30s, it's just really hard to see how a Democrat could win a Senate race in that kind of environment. So even if Mitch McConnell is unpopular, I think at the end of the day, it seems likely that a lot of people who may not even like him decide to vote for him because they want to vote for a Republican in their Senate race.
in all those key primaries, and of course the general election coming up later this year, the more pressing question for you, Kyle, and your associates at the University of Virginia, crunching the numbers, how far are the Cavaliers going to go in the NCAA tournament?
All the way. We're thrilled about it. It's been the best season in a very long time.
Well, congratulations on that number one seed. We'll certainly be following their progress as well as all these political campaigns in the weeks and months ahead. Kyle, thanks again.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Kyle Kondik is the managing editor of The Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia's Center for Politics. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WND.com.